All right, we're in MFC world again, C++ land with Pat Brenner. We haven't talked to you for about a year now.
Right.
I think it's been that long.
Yeah, it's been at least that long, actually.
Totally. So tell people about what you do and stuff.
Okay, so I've been working on, been at Microsoft for 21 years. I've been working back in Visual C++ for about the last 3 years, working mostly on MFC, some on some of the other libraries.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've got a lot of new things that we're doing for Visual Studio 2010. So we've made a lot of, did a lot of cool stuff for the feature pack that we did for Visual Studio 2008 and for SP1. And now we've got a whole bunch more stuff that we wanted to really kind of use to re-enliven MFC, take advantage of what Windows has given us. Mm-hmm. You know, the new things that Windows has available, we want to take advantage of that. And we want to make it easier for native developers to do that so they don't have to write straight to the APIs and figure out how all these things work. Mm-hmm. We're trying to wrap that up, and that's what MFC is for, right? And make the, you know, wrap it up, make it a little easier to use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can do the heavy lifting, then great. Then you can just say, yeah, turn this on, turn this off. I don't care about that. Yes, I care about this. Help me get this, do this for me.
Totally. I mean, MFC is basically bringing a little bit of RAD into C++.
Trying to, yes, right.
But, yeah. Of course, you know, C++ is a library's language, right? That's what
yes.
the creator of the language has said. So
yes.
MFC is trying to do, like, add a little bit of that VB-ness to native code, which is great, because it's still, whether or not people realize it or not, there's a lot of native developers out there, man.
Tons. You know, when we started really working on MFC again, we heard from a lot of people that they were like, hey, you're back from the dead, you know?
Yes.
I mean, where you been? So it's really good to, it's been really encouraging to hear from those folks, you know? I mean, even when they're finding bugs, mm-hmm. you know, we know they're using the product, you know? They're digging into stuff that we may not have dug into as far. So it's like, I love hearing from that, you know? It's like, wow, you got all the way into here and found out that this didn't work quite right? Great, let's fix it.
Excellent.
So, I mean, you know, that's just confirmation that it's getting used.
Absolutely.
So I like that.
So now in Windows 7, like Vista, but especially in Windows 7, they've added a bunch of new sort of, user mode APIs, if you will, Win32
right.
in the world.
Yes.
Which you guys, of course, take advantage of.
Yep.
Let's talk about some of the new stuff.
Okay, so one of the biggest things you'll notice in Windows 7 is the way the taskbar works and how it, you know, groups your icons together, and it can have tabbed, you know, take your tab views like in IE and show you a separate, you know, when you hover over the thing, it'll show you different windows for each of those. So we tried to wire that up the same way in MFC. So if you're using a tabbed MDI interface, when you float over your MFC document, you know, your MFC application in the taskbar, you'll see all your different tabs and the contents of those guys and stuff like that. You know, we hooked up the jump lists that they use. So if you want to have, just like your recent files show up in off the start menu, they also show up off of your taskbar icon. So
mm-hmm.
just a lot of the things that Windows 7 kind of set up to make things a little easier to get at, we tried to leverage that as much as we could with MFC and give that to you for free if that's the application style that you want.
Absolutely.
So we're trying to do that. Let's see. We had some things that were actually in Vista that we didn't get a chance to really leverage fully in Visual Studio 2008 or SP1. So we got some of that in there. The Restart Manager they have, which is something that can basically restart your shut down your application and restart it if your application is the only one in the system using a DLL that needs to get updated, or if your application crashes, we can set that up too, so that we've done auto saving of your documents, so that if you crash, mm-hmm. you've got a copy of the files that's no more than 5 minutes old or something like that.
Excellent.
Your application gets restarted, we'll say, hey, you've got a newer version of this document. Do you want to load that one instead?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so your users aren't losing data, and we give that to you for almost for free. You add a line of code to your application that says, enable the Restart Manager stuff for me, and we do it.
Excellent.
It's all there. And we just wired all that into your C document save mechanism, so we just call you with a temporary name to save the document to. You save it there. We figure out how to load it later. We keep the list of files that have been saved, all that stuff. MFC takes care of all that, so
nice.
It's almost transparent to you. It just works.
And so so let's go down another layer on this restart management process. The operating system itself does what?
The operating system itself will then either catch the crash and call into our handler that says, hey, we know how to, if we crash, let us know. We can do some cleanup, right? Like, we've already saved away we've already done the auto saves. Now we just want to save away our final list of files that's going to get checked when you restart this guy.
Okay.
Or in the case of, sort of the same thing in the case of restarting for an update. Like, if there's a Windows update to some DLL and your application is using it, right? The operating system can go through and say, okay, which applications are using this DLL? Okay, your application is using it. So we're going to call into you and send you a message to say, can you shut down? And you're going to say, yeah, I can. And I can save all my state. You're going to save all your state, all your open documents, everything like that. And you'll get shut down. That DLL can get replaced and you can get restarted back up using that new DLL and restore all your application state just like that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So basically, it's like this one grand event manager.
Kind of. Yeah. In fact, and it's funny because years ago when I was working on the Visual Studio Core IDE team, we were working on autosave, and I probably did an implementation of autosave in 1994 or 1995 or something like that. So I remember all the things that we kind of struggled with and got wrong, multi-process things and multiple instances and things like that, where it was hard to get that right. And fortunately I was able to recall some of those things and make sure that we engineered that stuff into MFC. So if you've got two instances of your application running and one of them crashes, that's the documents that were owned by that instance are the ones that are going to get reloaded, right? The other one would be, if it didn't crash, it's not going to be affected.
Sure.
So there were some things that I learned long ago that I was able to apply in this case. So that was
perfect.
That was good.
And you know, synchronization is a hard ass problem, man.
It's
a tough problem.
Yes, it was hard.
No one gets it right yet.
Yeah. And it's very possible that we have flaws in what we did too. But I at least knew what to test for and try to catch those interesting scenarios.
So. Cool. So with Windows 7, I mean, you know, you talked about taskbar, and we have a lot of stuff on Channel 9 where. Our Windows 7 evangelist, Yochai Kiryati, sorry if I got your name messed up, Yochai, has done a lot of pieces on the taskbar API talking with the Windows 7.
Right, yeah.
Cool. But there's also, you know, multi-touch.
Yes, there is multi-touch, and we did some work on that. So there's, in fact, it turned out to be not a lot of work in MFC because there's not a lot of messages flying in, so we tried to make that more intuitive to fit into the C++ framework that we've got. So, you know, when a message comes in, then we try to parse that down and figure out, okay, what method would be appropriate for us to call on your window class, right? Did they tap? Did they drag? You know, what event happened? That kind of thing. So, we've kind of wired all that in too, so that the framework's doing most of the parsing of trying to figure out what's really happening here, and you can just register and say, yeah, I'm interested in touch and gesture events, and we'll send those to you, and you can handle those however you like.
Cool.
So, yeah.
And so now one of the, you know, kind of the, I don't think they really use this in marketing for Windows 7, but we've talked a lot about it on Channel 9, about the efficiency of the operating system, much more so than any of its predecessors in terms of...
Yeah.
So did that bubble up to you guys in your library design? And were you,
not so much in the design. I think we just reap the benefits, right? It's like
sure.
We look faster because the system is running more efficiently.
I think that
looks good. We also took advantage of some other things that Windows did, I think, in Windows Vista for like giving more interaction, more detail and information in the Windows Explorer itself. So they've got a preview pane, they've got a thumbnail, they've got the whole search indexer thing running, right? So we didn't really have an answer for that. And, you know, very likely that if you, especially if you're saving some kind of text document or something that's parsable, But you're going to want to be able to search that. You're going to want to see a thumbnail, a useful thumbnail for that, a preview for it. So we wired all that up. In fact, we can actually do that with our wizard now. The MFC application wizard can, if you select the options, it can create a sort of a an accompanying ATL DLL that uses part of the same code for your documents and your document and view code, and can use that to show a preview of your whatever it is that you're showing, whether it's a picture or a text or whatever, can generate a thumbnail for you and can search. So if you're providing this, you provide the search text, then we wire all that up so that it's getting indexed by Windows, so that when you go into Explorer and say, I'm looking for Pat Brenner, then it can search through those things and find that in the search index.
Nice.
So yeah, that was a bit of work. It's not a real easy thing to get everything working right, especially with the search indexer. The search indexer runs with a lower privileges, so you've got to have some of your things set up correctly so that it can actually open your DLL to do that to do that searching. So that was some. We went through a little bit of gymnastics to figure out what was going on with that. But with help from the Windows team, we got everything working just the way we wanted to. So.
And so, I mean, let's talk a little bit about when you are an MFC developer fires up Visual Studio. Does she or he have to fire it up in admin mode?
Well, so that's it kind of goes back and forth, right? A lot of if you want, like our the first time you build one of our projects, the DLL that I was just talking about that does the handlers, that needs to be registered. Mm-hmm. Well, the only way that can be registered is if you're running it as administrator, because it's going to run Reg Server 32, and that's got to be run at admin level or it can't touch the registry.
Absolutely. Okay.
Right? So then a lot of the time you want to be running you need to be running as admin to do that. Most of the rest of the time you could be running either way. It's not gonna matter. Mm-hmm. I did find when I was testing all the restart manager stuff, so if you're doing this in your application, you want to take note of this too, that if you're running Visual Studio as an administrator, then your debuggee starts up in administrator mode, and the restart manager doesn't like to touch those things. So if you want the restart, if you're testing the restart manager, especially if you're using restart APIs to restart your application to test that, you want to be running as a normal user, because otherwise the restart manager just won't even touch your application. Hmm. You'll think, it doesn't work. No, it might work just fine, but it's just you're just running it at a privilege level that the restart manager doesn't want to touch.
So. Absolutely. For security reasons.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good. It's not a bad thing. It's just a gotcha, right? Yeah. So it's like you just have something to be aware of.
Sure. I think now they will, hopefully, if
right.
they're watching this. So what else? What are some of the others? So we covered taskbar, restart manager,
we got some
touch.
Right. So the there's also the high DPI support. So Windows kind of has this default thing where if you're running at a higher DPI, so at larger fonts or whatever they call it in their actual Windows user interface, if you don't register yourself as being DPI aware, then they'll just scale you up. So your whole application gets scaled up by some percentage, which tends to fuzz you out a little bit, right? If you look at it closely, you'll see that my fonts look kind of fuzzy, my icons are fuzzy, things like that. So we into MFC we put some smarter scaling stuff in there to be able to do this for you, especially in your ribbon. That's where it really sticks out, is in the ribbon interface and in the toolbars. So because we're drawing all those ourselves, and so if Windows scales that up for you, then it just tends to fuzz out a little bit. So get pixelated. So we added some smarts in MFC to be able to scale those things more smoothly, and then of course your fonts, we just use a larger font, so that comes out crystal clear instead of being a pixelated version of a smaller font. And then we also have the manifest entry that we add into your manifest that says, yeah, I'm DPI aware. So we just basically turn that on by default for MFC applications, and then your application is DPI aware and it does the scaling the right way.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, in the Vista time frame, last time we were in here talking to you, the big thing was, you know, Microsoft's latest advancement in UI technology, which was the Office ribbon.
Yes.
Right. Which is, you know, to be honest with you, it's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
But you had to write a lot of code, man.
You did. You did have to write a lot of code. In fact, there's a couple of things I wanted to touch on there. Since then, Windows has their own ribbon as well, their own ribbon look. So in Windows 7, if you look at WordPad or, I can't remember what, maybe Notepad. Paint. MS Paint.
That's right.
Paint, they're using the Windows ribbon. So we have our own, the way we draw all those different ribbon looks is with visual managers. So we have basically one ribbon implementation, and then there's visual managers that pile on top of that. So that's how we draw the Office blue or the Office black or the Office gray or, you know, the silver look or whatever. We just have a different visual manager that's doing that drawing. So that paint layer doesn't touch all the rest of how we lay everything out. It just, that's how it paints. So we just have another visual manager now that is the Windows 7 ribbon visual manager. So if you decide you want that look, you can swap that. In fact, you can swap it on the fly while your application is running. We'll just repaint and say, okay, you want the ribbon to look like this? Great. And then it looks just like the Windows 7 ribbon.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great. The other thing I wanted to touch on is we have a designer now in the IDE for your ribbon interface, which is great if you're starting from scratch. But for anybody out there who's already done the ribbon in code, they might have 500 lines of code in their, you know, in their mainframe module that's basically building all this ribbon interface up in code. Now, I knew from my perspective that I wouldn't want to rewrite all that by hand in XML. So we have, because now our ribbon designer is using XML as its storage. So if you have a ribbon that you designed in code, we thought, well, if we're going to read this thing from XML, we better be able to write it out to XML too. So you can add a line of code to your application temporarily right after after you initialize your whole ribbon and get your whole interface built. You can say, okay, now dump my ribbon out to XML. So then we'll dump that whole thing out, and then you can use that as the start for your ribbon resource. Mm-hmm. So instead of you having to type in 10,000 characters in HTML, we'll just dump this whole thing out for you, and then you can consume that in your resource file, and you're good to go. Then you can open that in the editor and in the ribbon designer, and you're good to go.
So, I mean, you know, why did you choose XML? I mean, this isn't XAML.
No.
Right?
It's sort of this de facto standard for, you know, some kind of simple persistence like this, right? Absolutely. And it's really a layered thing, right? You've got nested pieces and nested pieces. You've got buttons that are in categories that are in the, the tabs that are in the ribbon. So it's like the perfect structure for what we wanted to do. So it just worked out.
And it also, I mean, to be honest with you, it might actually also simplify some things that probably aren't yet fully baked as far as the future of playing around with this stuff in the MFC IDE.
Right.
So in that sense, it makes perfect sense. I just wanted to actually talk about that because I'm not a fan of ever manually typing XML and never have them.
It's a nightmare. It's like anything, you get an angle bracket wrong and all of a sudden nothing shows
totally
up right. So that was what we were trying to avoid, and I knew that I would be really unhappy if I was having to do all this by hand, and so I wanted to make sure that was part of our scenario was existing application, dump the ribbon, consume the ribbon, it should look the same as it did.
Absolutely. And interesting thing that in reality, most people write multi-libraried applications where you might have an MFC front end and something else STL. You're going to combine a lot of things, and you might even, God forbid, have managed code in your MFC application.
Right.
I mean, that's actually a good thing.
We're trying to leverage there, enable that better too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, in some sense, XML is definitely one of the better sort of, what's the right term?
It's kind of a good fundamental building block.
Yes.
It's like it's not going to change. We've got support in the operating system for parsing this stuff. We don't have to write it all ourselves. So it's
totally. And you can give it off to like a designer.
Exactly.
Doesn't know how to write code.
Hand this.
Holy crap! That's the whole expression story, man.
Yeah, exactly.
MFC and expression, huh? Nice. but anyway, very cool. Very cool. So what else? What else is going on?
Let's see. I think I've pretty much.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. We've got more. It has kept me busy. Yeah, no doubt.
So, what exactly is your role in this? I mean, you're writing code, or are you?
Yeah, I'm writing code, kind of managing the effort in a way. Really. Okay. We've got a number of people working on different parts of this, so kind of keeping track of how things are working, how the design is coming together, how we sit several times in the last few months. We've sat down and just kind of got about five people in a conference room and just walked through some scenarios and tried a bunch of stuff. Said, okay, does this work? What about if we tried this? Does this work? So we're trying to make sure that the user experience makes sense and that we understand how this is working. And, you know, if we find things that we don't understand, then certainly our users are going to be baffled too. So then it's like, okay, we need to go back and make this easier, make this more intuitive. You know, if I right-click on this, I should see this, right? I should be able to figure out what choice I want to do here. So things like that. So coordinating a lot of the development work and fixing things, fixing bugs. You know, we have a few of those now and then, too. So I work my way through a bunch of those as I went. And now, in fact, our users find bugs, too. I love that.
Cool.
I love hearing from people and saying, hey, I found this bug in this class. You know, it doesn't work the way I need it to work. It's like, I love hearing about that because, like, a lot of times we're not leveraging it as heavily as our users are.
Sure.
So when I hear about these bugs, it's like, okay, how is this scenario supposed to work? Oh, then they're trying to do this. We should be able to... There's no reason we shouldn't be able to do that. Let's see if we can support that scenario.
Excellent. So,
loved it. Love hearing back.
Cool. And this is beta 2.
This is beta 2.
Right? And people weren't able to play with this in beta 1
because
it wasn't there.
It wasn't all there yet. Yeah,
so we're expecting that they're going to give you feedback and you're going to be able to fix some of the bugs.
Yeah, hopefully.
By RCM.
Yeah, exactly.
Or RC1, whatever it is.
Whatever we call it.
Yeah, whatever we call it.
We'll try to get that. So the sooner we can hear, the better off we'll be. So.
Cool.
And I want to do some screencasts as
well.
Show people really how this works. So give them some eye candy about here's a lot of stuff your application can get for free just by using MFC.
And they could have it up in one monitor, and in the other monitor they could have Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2.
Start coding.
And they could
up.
Just code and watch and listen, you type and
see it happen on their monitor.
Absolutely, man. I think screencasts should become a bigger part of the IDE in general.
Yeah, we want to do that.
Right on, man.
Okay.
Well, hey, great to see you again.
All right, thanks.
And maybe for whatever our next operating system is, you can tell us what you've done before.
You betcha.
Right on, man.
All right, thank you.
Take care.